Hey, Tara Strong here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
This is Geekcast Radio, episode 304. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me once again for a Comic-Con recap is Christopher A. Morton from Indeed Podcast. Hello, sir.
Hello, I'm Chris. I'm here to talk about two things, Rose City Comic-Con and the dangers of diabetes.
The dangers of diabetes? Well, I've been pre-diabetic for decades now, so there's that. Also joining us, as usual, is his compatriot in convention going, that super fan of Funko, it's Matt Crowder.
Hello.
Hello.
Ouch. What's just that he's a Justin Bieber fan as well. I mean, if you're going to go that route.
I hate you all.
I mean, you know. Canada does put out good things, and now Nickelback, we're finally getting a new album after 5 years, so yay, Nickelback!
Anyway, don't hate just because they sell out.
They don't sell out, they buy in. Don't you know?
Hey, I buy their CDs. They're pleasant to listen to.
Uh-huh.
I'm no music expert, but I find it pleasing.
Yes, we can have a whole podcast about San Quentin later.
I haven't even heard it yet.
What? No. Oh, wow. Okay,
like
well.
Like I said, I'm no music aficionado. And I've been busy doing con things.
Yes, yes, you've been busy doing con things. So, Rose City Comic-Con 2022, you both attended. It was from September 9th to the 11th, is that right?
Yes. Yep.
Wow, I can't remember. I just pulled that out of my ass, people. I only looked at the date like once. And yeah, once again, I like their website a lot better than ECCC, but that main page, like, you just finished your con for this year, and I know advertisements for next year are the thing, but come on. However, at least their website, I'm getting this out of the way now, so I don't complain about it later. At least their website is much better in order to figure out what is where and whatever else. So we've got several different, we've got about five different things I'm going to ask these guys, and starting off, let's start with Matt this time. What is your history with Rose City Comic Con?
Day one. It was this year was the 10th anniversary of Rose City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. It was held in the basement of the Doubletree Inn over by Lloyd Center. And I went to it and have been going ever since.
Why wasn't it just held in Lloyd Center? Is that too expensive?
Oh, that was probably way too expensive and way too open to get stabbed.
Really? It's that kind of convention. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That first one was great, though. Like, they sold out and the fire marshal was there for 3 days doing head counts because it was so popular. It was disgusting inside because there was no ventilation and way too many people. And there was like sweat dripping down the walls. It was so gross, but it was a fun con.
So yeah. History on that. So it was September 8th and 9th. It was a two-day con in 2012. The square footage they had for that was 17,000 feet. That's it. With attendance estimated at 4,100 people.
Wow. Yikes.
It was literally in the basement of somebody's mom's house, practically. I mean,
Doubletree Inn.
Still, it was tiny. Now, when you jump up to the next one, which was September 20th and 21st and 2013, that was the first time they realized it was so popular, they moved it to the Oregon Convention Center. But it only used, if I remember, half the floor space.
Yes.
But it went from 17,000 square feet to 120,000 square feet. The attendance jumped up to 18,000. Wow. So a little hit on the first one. They didn't have too many big name stars for the first one, but this one actually picked up Avery Brooks. Billy West showed up. Don DiMaggio, Alex Cruz. It actually picked up some names. And immediately the second year, they got steam. They got going. By third year, now the square footage didn't change. They kept the half auditorium at 120,000. Attendance soared over to 26,000, but this is where Will Wheaton showed up, and you got a lot of other name people. Barry Gordon? I'm trying to look at some of these other ones. Oh, Garrick Wang, Jeremy Shada. But Will Wheaton was the big draw. That was your push. And he actually ends up doing the con for multiple years after that. But the attendance just from there just steadily went up there. They went into the three-quarter con, actually the whole floor, the following year at 210,000 square feet, soaring to about 35,000 people. Then the 240,000. Now, the 240 is literally the whole con floor plus the side rooms and the main halls up top. And that was in the 2016 at 42,000. And then out of the nowhere, we jumped up to 64,000 people in the 2017, 2018, 2019. And 2019 capped at about 75,000 people.
Holy crap. And so there wasn't one until this year. Or last
crashes.
Year. Yeah.
And the following year, they capped out at 45,000 is what they sold the tickets at. Probably close to this, what this year's con is going to be. It's about 45,000 people. Really not much less than what Emerald City was at a capped, even though Emerald City is much more spread out.
Yeah.
And Emerald City had a lot of returning people versus Rose City didn't have a lot of three-day passes. They actually focused more on day passes. So that's what they sold a lot of.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So did you guys go to all the days?
Always.
Okay.
Well, now we just don't go to the con. For the last several, half these cons, we've worked the con. So we're in a booth working and actually doing stuff.
So whose booth were you at this time?
James, our artist from Vegas that we did ECC with, he really likes the Northwest. So whenever there's any kind of con, no matter how small, he will find the excuse to use it to, oh, it's a business trip, and he'll come out and visit.
That's always nice. All right. So Friday, Saturday, who are the big draws? Because we've got a whole ton of guests that showed up this year.
If you're looking at lines, the only person that really had an enormous line was the writer of Sonara Chronicles.
Oh, Cherry Brooks. Yeah. He had a pretty good line.
His line was huge, but if you looked over in the celebrity area, it seemed very small for what it normally is. It's usually a madhouse in the celebrity area of people walking around, taking pictures, trying to wait in line to get signatures, and really, it was very manageable.
Good.
I was saying there's about three celebrities that actually had lines. Billy Dee Williams had a pretty good line.
Mm-hmm.
Then LeVar Burton had a pretty good line. And then, of course, Rainn Wilson from The Office had he probably had the biggest line I saw there. More people were there to see him than most any of the other people. I mean, we had Elijah Wood there, but I didn't see people lining up for him as much. Or Anthony Rapp, who was the other Star Trek person there. Wilson something other, Cruz. He was on Star Trek
Discovery.
Yeah, which right there explains why. Sean Austin was there.
Yep.
Moderate line. I mean, a lot of people liked him, but...
The guy from Breaking Bad and what is it? Moff Gideon from... Mandalorian?
Oh, yes.
I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes.
I just pulled that out of my brain.
He had actually a pretty good, I'm told he had a panel that was really funny. And people liked him. He was at Emerald City Comic Con as well. And he had a pretty good panel up there.
Mm. Yeah, very cool, very cool. I'm really surprised some of these people, like, you have not, I don't want to say half, but you have a good majority of Wheaton people. You've got Julie Benz, who is Darla. You've got Charisma Carpenter, who is Cordelia. Yep. You know, I'm looking at all these, you know, you got Brian Michael Bendis, one of the, you know, great comic book writers and that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking these lines are going to be extremely long because these people are extremely famous, obviously, rightfully so. Mike and Laura Allred were there. Yeah, like you said, Sean Astin, Sean Schemmel was there. I'm really surprised that there wasn't a big line for him.
So the comic people, like, we decided not to get any signatures at this con because CGC did not show up.
Oh, no.
The only grading company there was CBCS. And right now, I don't know if you follow, they lost like a truckload of comic books.
Yes, I remember you saying that in our ECCC recap.
Yeah, people are not really thrilled with them. We decided not to send our books off with them, so we didn't get any signatures this time around, and we'll just wait until CGC is at a con, and we'll send them off with them. Mm-hmm. So that might have been an issue for people waiting in line to get signatures, is that they also didn't trust CBCS. Mm-hmm. But it also is kind of a price point, it being so close to ECC. People were not throwing money around.
Like, yeah. No.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we just did ECCC back in August, and now we have Rose City. And, like, I understand having a convention a month. That's fine. But spread it out. Like, if you have, what was ECCC? It was August 18th to the 21st, I think. Was it right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, last year, Rose City was before, in September, with ECCC was in December. That actually worked well. It was far enough apart.
Yeah.
And ECC in December was beautiful. It's first weekend of December. Everyone was buying gifts for people. It was just a really good, and it was cold up there, and I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my point in saying this is to go to your point, Matt, of that they're too, this year they were too close to each other. And I know you guys are not going to go to what I'm going to mention, but August we had Emerald City. September we have Rose City. October is New York Comic Con. Like, that's 3 months and three different conventions that are all so close together. Like, people can't go to all of them. I mean, unless, you know, they're one percenters.
Well, the week before Emerald City was Dragon Con. No, sorry. Dragon Con was between Rose City and Emerald City.
Yep.
So Dragon Con, you know, blew off in Atlanta, which I know a few people from BTW went. And it was pretty crowded there.
And this week is Amazing Las Vegas, which usually has a pretty good pool of celebrities like Eastman and those guys that live down there.
Yeah. Well, it's Vegas, and as long as there's a pool, you know. Yep. Oh, man.
Actually, James is there right now, since that's his hometown.
Oh.
He reported it wasn't overly busy yesterday. I haven't heard anything today yet from him.
The whining hasn't started yet.
No. Hopefully he's staying busy and making that money. Because remember, people that make money get to eat.
So. Yes, winners get dinner.
Yep.
There you go. So what was the atmosphere for this convention? Like, we know it was, but it wasn't crowded. It was kind of spread out and whatever. But, like, were there too many things there, or was there not enough?
I'll let you go first, Chris.
I've really loved Rose City for one main reason. It's basically one main floor for all your needs, from the artist alley to the vendors to the different events. It's one floor. You're not going different buildings, not different floors. It's very accessible. And for anyone going the first time to a Comic-Con, Rose City is a very good con to start with. Being a medium-sized con, I'm actually kind of rolling the smaller size now because of the after COVID. But still, medium layout. There's a lot of convention space for their panels, and the panels are separated in different sections. And their main stage floor has a lot of room. So when there's a big name up there, there's plenty of room for seating for the people who want to attend.
Handicap accessible.
It is very handicap accessible, which helps a lot for getting around there. A lot of places to sit. Now, I will gripe there's not enough coffee places. They have two, and they really need to have five in this building to make it work. And they closed down one of the main restaurants on the main floor, which kind of hindered a lot to the other restaurants around there on keeping their service up to somewhat usable standards. So that was a little bit of disappointment. Their food vending being cut back, or at least that should have some food trucks out in the main area would have been helpful. And that's a recommendation I definitely want to push to them.
There were some hangry people on Saturday. So one of the booths that me and Chris always go to, it's kind of our souvenir booth, is Wild Bill's soda. And you buy a cup for them and you get like an all you can drink pass. And when you're a vendor, you get it for the entire weekend instead of just one day. And you get free refills on soda from the tap. And it was right next to the food booths. And on Saturday, as I was waiting in line to refill my soda, somebody was walking down and told people that were waiting in line, just so you guys know, the people that have already ordered food just got told it was going to take an hour and a half for them to get their food. And you guys haven't even ordered your food yet.
Oh, no.
And there's a lot of little kids there. Like, if you've got a four-year-old, no. The kid needs to eat now.
Yeah.
So what they didn't tell people, because Reed Pop is incapable of communicating any useful information, because, hey, we have an app. Up on the main floor, when you first walk in, because it's kind of a sunken convention center.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in, there was this big open hall where there was like a stage for like a panel. It's supposed to be like the cosplay area. So professional cosplay costumes were there that were pretty neat. They had the cosplay repair center there. What they also had up there off to the side that you'd actually have to walk into the room and look over, they had the beer garden in there. They had the pretzel cart, which is normally downstairs by where our booth was supposed to be. That wasn't downstairs. That was up there. They also had a curry place and a mac and cheese place off to the side there. With hardly any lines, because nobody knew it was there, except if you were a cosplayer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they at least put a sign up by, like the entrance or whatever, like, food this way, or food around the corner, or, you know, something. Like you said, if you're, and, well, Chris, your kids are grown, right? Like, you don't have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so imagine this is Rose City 40 years ago, let's say, or whatever, when your kids were younger.
40 years ago before they were born.
Whatever. It's an example, damn it. I remember going to, like, small conventions when I was 6 or 7 back in the 80s, and if I didn't have a water or a soda or something, there was no way my mom was going to get me to walk anywhere. You need to have things at least, you know, point people in the right direction. Don't just say, hey, welcome to the con. everything you're looking for is this way. And they point you in the direction of the main hall or whatever. I don't know.
Which is basically what Wizard World is very famous for.
Yes.
And again, this is... Go ahead, Kurt. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
This is why last podcast we did, I said, like, bring snacks.
Yeah.
Bring snacks to every con because the lines for food are ridiculous. And you need to have a snack before you even get to your food because it can take so long.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's just one of those things where conventions are even if you just go for a day pass, if you just go for a Friday or a Saturday, like you're not there every day, but if you're just a regular person that wants to experience it, let's say, because I don't have the website pulled up right now, but let's just say you want to see, and I don't know if they were all there on the same day, so I'm just using these as examples. Let's say you wanted to see Billy Williams, Charisma Carpenter, Julie Benz, Brian Michael Bendis, Terry Brooks, whoever. Like, you pick the day that you want to see the people you want to see, and you go that day, but you still bring your, like, you know, conventions are not like movie theaters as far as I know. They don't, like, you even said back in episode 301 that you brought food and water and whatever, and you were running it around to people. So it isn't like a movie theater, like, oh, my God, you can't bring in outside food. Oh, my God, it's going to take away from our bottom line because we have to sell you $10 popcorn that's, like, 3 ounces or whatever. I don't know, movie theaters, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, you have to treat that as a day-long event, and you should be bringing water and small snacks and things like that because, like you said, the food lines are going to be outrageous, especially with having anything over 10,000 people.
The water stations were fine. Mm-hmm. They have lots of water stations all over that you can refill your water bottles. The bathroom lines were non-existent. Lots of bathrooms to use. It's just food. That was probably the longest line in the entire con over any celebrity, any booth that had some kind of killer deal. It's the food.
Wow. That kind of sucks.
It was sad because last year I don't recall being horrible coming back off the pandemic. The lines move. I mean, just mean people are a little more skittish about buying food locally, but it was better managed. We saw it in Emerald City too. A couple of the places, like normally there, they have a couple of subways that are built, one within the con, one just outside. They were both closed, which was really odd. I understand the whole COVID thing, but it's such a loss in sales. It's an important thing that the con should be working to make sure people are fed. And coffee is a staple of our life. And there should be, you know, multiple coffee stands there to keep the flow of people in and out faster. Yeah. You want them on the floor. You don't want them standing in line for an hour for a coffee.
Yeah.
Eat coffee, get on the floor, or buy stuff there.
Yeah.
Well, last year also, they had food booths mixed into the exhibitor area. They had, like, a soft serve, like, ice cream vendor there in the middle of the exhibitor hall. There was like snack booths in the exhibitor hall. So there was so many different places that you could get food that would spread it out through the con instead of this one side of the building is the only food. Everybody go there.
Yeah, well, the Oris Cafe on our side, they closed the main one by us, and then the Dragon Boat. That was the main food. That was the bulk of all the food. That's where that hour and a half wait was that Dragon Boat area.
Yeah.
So. Wow. All right. So who? I know you guys were working the booth for James, but did you guys get to see any of the celebrities?
Well, we're not really celebrity people. Chris likes panels. Every celebrity, for the most part, that I've met has been a huge disappointment and has ruined my childhood. So I tend to steer away from the celebrities.
Okay, Michael Bay.
I saw a couple of small panels. I poked my head in, listened to them more on creative processes. Again, a little light on the panels. Most of the panels they had was more, hey, we're all inclusive now. How is the industry changing to any LGBT platform? Alphabet soup thing. And that's what a lot of the panels are. And it wasn't directed at the creativity building of artists, writers, and creators. Mm-hmm. And that is a little sad to me. I understand they're trying to get the all-inclusive, feel safe at a con. That's great and all, but really this should be a place where young creators come to learn tips in of the trade. And mm-hmm. they get to talk to people that have already done the work. And they're the next level of stories, which is going to lead us into another part about AI stuff we're going to be talking about.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. But the true actual creators out there, and I've saw a lot of young cosplayers this year, which I was thoroughly impressed by. There was a squirrel girl that came by and was just amazing.
One.
She did a great tail, and the whole, and she had a little tippy with her, loved it. I saw a couple of xenomorphs, which were pretty awesome, like I guess two brothers. They were dressed up as xenomorphs. Those were pretty good. There was the She-Hulk that was really good.
She was really good.
And then who was the big old the gal from Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah, the new boss, the one in the white dress.
Yeah, there was a cosplay gal there, and I thought she was on stilts. No, she's just that tall.
She was made for that role.
Yep, and I could have sworn I saw her at Emerald City, too. But she was there. Was great cosplayers. Again, I love sitting there because in the morning while they went around the booth, I waited a little bit watching the people come into the con. And it's great seeing that sheer excitement of being the character that you love and meeting other people who love that character as much as you do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what level of detail you have of your cosplay outfit. Everyone loved everything other people did. And it was great empowerment. It wasn't because of, you know, who you are, your status in society. It's just, you love this. I love it too. You look great. Thanks for coming and showing me what you could do. And it was happiness. And it was great seeing that as they walked through into the main con with that enthusiasm. And I saw it when I was at the booth too. Seeing the people walk by, just giving them a quick compliment on their outfit and they're just how they light up because, you know, they put a lot of work and time into this. And a lot of them were really passionate about the role that they're in. And it was great to see. And I love, and this is one reason I love being at these Comic Cons is seeing that whole side of people. It's, you know, no political, no, you know, mission statement of this or that or what side you need to be on. This is just fandom at its greatest when it's done right and without prejudice.
That being said, there were a lot of very angry parents because I guess the new thing is for attractive young female cosplayers to carry around signs that have, I will step on you for $5, I will slap you for $5, or I will sit on you for $5. And although we found them absolutely hysterical, and we had one of them step on Chris's son and take pictures in front of our booth, the forums were very upset about, I guess they didn't realize how dirty and perverted a lot of comic creators and comic book fans are.
Yeah, I was gonna say it depends on where the slap is.
Yeah.
One actually called it cosplay prostitution.
Yeah. So we asked the girl that we paid to go over and step on Chris's son. We said, "Damn, like it's Saturday, like." Is this profitable? Like, how many have you done? Or is it just like kind of funny and people, you know, whatever. And she's like, oh, this is at the end of Saturday. She said that she had made about $400.
Hey.
On stepping on dirty old men.
I mean, as long as she's not hurting them, as long as
No,
I know. But I'm saying like, as long as she's not like hurting them, as long as it's not like what you would normally do if you're going to someone like that, in that other profession kind of thing.
Yes.
But it's one of those things where if it's just for a pose, you know, hey, $400 for quote unquote stepping on people.
Hey, that's a nice that's shiny book to take home right there.
Yeah, that's a good day's change. Yeah, exactly. That's like, I just made a rent payment.
Yeah. You know?
She was dressed as Raven, by the way. She was.
Saturday, too. You have to send me those pictures so I can put them in the post, dude. That's awesome.
Saturday, there was that was probably the most of those girls that were carrying around the signs. So that's competition on top of that. And she still made $400. It wasn't like it was like a Friday and she was the first one to do it. Like, no, Saturday had the most of the sign characters and and she still pulled 400.
Well, and I also think it depends on the character. Like, not everybody is going to go for a Raven. Not everyone's going to go for a Batgirl or a Supergirl or a Wonder Woman. It depends on, you know, the character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that she... And Raven's pot, don't get me wrong, I like Raven. Raven's cool. I actually... Was it once or twice? No, it's twice now. I've actually talked to Raven twice, Tara Strong. I've interviewed her twice in the past 13, 14 years. The second interview, I think she was at the hair salon when we did that. That was really strange, but it worked. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? What was... You can each obviously answer this, duh. But what was your favorite part of this year's Rose City?
Matt, you can go first on this one, Quintel.
For me, it was the competition that we entered James into behind his back. he doesn't like the spotlight being on him like that, so he usually avoids big group things unless he's drunk, and we didn't have to get him drunk. And Chris signed him up, and he took second place when he should have taken first place. But that's a totally different reason. But yeah, $500 consolation prize, that ain't bad, right?
No, not at all.
First or second place is great. At least it wasn't just a participation ribbon.
Yeah.
So I guess I should elaborate what happened here, because that was one of my is my favorite thing in the con was this. The night before, artists are invited to the Wapcom studios. They actually have a facility here in Portland. One of the main headquarters is downtown Portland. So we ended up going there, speaking with other artists, testing out some of their new tablets they had there. Well, they happened to mention that, well, we have a contest where two of our main pros will go against with two amateurs and, you know, cheering, there'll be four rounds, and then there'll be a semi and a final round. So now this is the style of my cartooning. This is the anthropic art. This is cartoonist art. But when we got there, they had one spot open, so I threw James in under the bus on this. I'm like, James, you got to do it. He's not really understanding what he's signing up for. He's like, oh, just it's drawing, no problem. Sure, James, great. So we get there.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Whatever you got to tell yourself. So we get there, and the first he has the four artists up there. And they get a random generator, which is like a noun, a verb, and an adjective that line up. And it kind of gives you this little thing to draw. And you have 5 minutes to draw. Now, cartoonists like myself in 5 minutes can get, you know, direct to ink, sketch out characters doing certain things. James is not a cartoonist. He is an illustrator. So he's very detailed. He has to do his basic lineup, his perspective, his orientation, the sizing, and then you draw. Well, in 5 minutes, you don't have time to do all those steps.
Yeah,
you have to skip step one and two to get to step three. So it was kind of interesting the way he would sketch these out and he would rush to ink them. And some of them were absolutely fantastic. He blew the other people out of the water because the sheer orientation of how he did his drawing was just amazing. So round one, he kills the other three art, even the pros, beats the pants off the pros. Now, it does help because they're judging about how loud the audience is. Matt and I are out in the audience because my son's in the booth, and we are very loud when we cheer. So semifinals come up, and then they're on the main tournament was on Saturday. Semifinals the morning of Sunday. We get up there, and he's up against a couple of really established artists, but they're all pretty much, you know, amateurs. And this is one of two semifinal rounds. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, the semifinal was just the last four because it's four down to two. We get up there, we get established. One gal I've never seen before. Another one's a guy I've seen at multiple cons. He does robots. And I can't remember his name. But his old comic art is robots.
That's all he does.
That's all he does, which is going to be his downfall in this. And then, lo and behold, at the end spot is Katie Cook.
Oh, no.
As you already know.
You even know who she is.
Jeez. Oh, yeah.
Katie Cook is not an amateur, folks. She is
she's a pro.
And so she's up there, and it's a little disheartening. It's like, crap. I really love her work. She's a great artist. But
she's really funny, too.
She is funny. And it's just like, okay, it's a challenge. Let's just get to the final round. James Whoopsum, wonderful pieces, really actually rivals Katie at this point. I blow out my voice cheering for James at this point. So we get done, and she's already figured out, okay, the win, I need an audience. She has big signs at her booth basically telling people to come cheer me on at this time for the finals. And, of course, when the finals show up, she pulled a much larger crowd to cheer for her than we could muster up for James being the local favorite. And it was a fight, but James did get hit a little bit because the tablet was crashing, which is it's their new 24-inch tablet, which was what the first place trophy was brand new 24-inch tablet. I am sad to see that 24-inch tablet kept crashing Photoshop, which is probably not good on them to be
showing everybody that it can't run simple programs.
Yeah. I manned the booth because my voice was blown out. Andrew and Matt and several of other friends went to cheer James on, but couldn't quite get there. Now the person who's running the event, she was doing her best to really give the emphasis of what James is creating versus the stuff that Katie was creating. So her first semi round, she did really good artwork. It's full pictures, but I guess a lot more disappointment in the finals where she would do a small picture, but try to tell this wordy story around it. Not drawing.
Yeah.
But again, it wasn't about what you drew. It was about how the audience responded, and she won that. And she didn't need it. Andy, I love you, but you didn't need that 24-inch tablet. You have like a 32 in your office. You post online.
Yeah.
So he ends up with second, which only means Rose City Comic Con 2023 that James has to get up there to get first place. So,
absolutely. Most definitely.
But it was a fun event. I really enjoyed that. That really made the highlight of the for how sales were kind of flat for us. This was a good release. And this was actually the Comic Con he actually relaxes at. We didn't do a lot of commissions at the booth, but he did sell a few main pieces. We had a very special RCC exclusive, which was Gambit throwing a Charizard card. At Awesome.
Shiny. That
picture. Shiny. And it was beautiful. Sold out. Once we put it up there, exclusive, out the door. It was gone. We sold those out faster. So we know we're going to tweak that one up with a couple of different cards next year. I sold several of my books, How to Be a Paladin, or What Paladin Am I. That went out pretty good. And so it was his con to relax. He wasn't focused on his commissions for this one as much as he enjoyed. He actually got to walk around the con. He met other people. And this is where we should break into the next part of this. The people at the con. Yeah, he knows it's coming. So as we talked about in Emerald City Comic Con, the advancement of the new AI art. AI art generation based upon things you type into a search engine, and it creates AI art. Now, we talked about this in the Podcast Live episode, where AI art recently won an art contest at a very prestigious art studio, I think in Atlanta, Georgia. And that came to the discussion of, is AI art really art? Now, we talked about it's a joke. It's really neat and all, but I mean, now people sell it. And a week before Emerald City Comic Con, one of the people we know that do vendoring work is actually creating AI art and pretty much passing it off as his personal art. And he sold it at the con as art. And one of the people, one of the other artists that kind of follow him, took one of his pieces that wasn't bad, but he took it out and improved it, did dramatic changes to it, but the foundation was still the original piece. And of course, that guy turns around and goes, "You stole my art."
Oh, no.
It's like you realize all you're doing is stealing art when you're doing your process, right? It just steals art from images that were from other people and puts it together. That's all
doing. Like, so I saw, and again, you know, I mention this all the time now because I've been watching them for a couple of years. You guys ever watch MKBHD, Marques Brownlee at all? He's a tech YouTuber.
I've seen a couple of his pieces.
Okay, so he did, I'll probably embed it in the post for this episode. He did a video all about I forget what it's called, but it's one of these AI art machines where you type like Apple or car or whatever, and it just draws it. And I'm not so sure I want to have artificial intelligence anything. Like, I know we have Google Assistant.
How you get Skynet.
Yes, we know. We're way past that anniversary at this point. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I do not want to see an age where a comic book cover is done by an AI machine. I want to see my favorite artists, Andrew Griffith or Alex Milne or Livio Remondelli or whomever. It doesn't matter who it is. I'm just pulling those names out of my ass right now. But like, I don't know about this AI stuff. This just, I feel like it's one step away from us all having, sunnies in our houses. We're all gonna have robots for My Robot. I don't know, man. It's just weird. So overall, how was? Okay, so as far as some of the negatives go, obviously where the food was, that it was just in one area, that was a problem because of lines and whatever else. But overall, how was the feel of the entire weekend for you guys? Not as workers for James for the booths or anything, but just being at the convention.
So I had a problem with the exhibitor area. So when you do cons, you kind of do the shopping grocery store where you go up one aisle and circle around and go back down the next aisle and you kind of do a loop. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the line, the ends of the exhibitor area like finished. So a lot of people were not going to the very end to the wall and then coming back around because there wasn't anything on the end cap. There wasn't anything down there, so they just kind of poked their head and said, "Oh, it's just an art booth," and continue on. And so where Artist Alley was great because it's all open and people were doing that, over in the exhibitor area, if you were on one of those ends, you did not get foot traffic. Yeah. You had to have like flashing lights. You really needed to get people to come down and see what you were doing because they were not going to give you the benefit of the doubt and continue on that extra, 10 yards to see what you have to offer.
Dang.
Well, I'd like to say a shout out. One of the other artists, a lot of big artists that I follow did not show up to the show because of how close it is. And a lot of them are choosing to hit New York for their finances. And I really wish them well going to New York.
Cross your fingers.
The one artist that I had a lot of fun with and I've gotten to know over the years and indeed supports is the creators of Beyond the Western Deep, Alex and Rachel. They were over there off the T section by the Webcom stage. And they're phenomenal artists. And they'll be doing their Kickstarter here soon for their next book for Chapter 3 of Beyond the Western Deep. But they actually did a picture of Morton Moose in one of the styles of the one of the nations there of Sungrove, and it was one of the it was a great Martin Moose. I was thoroughly impressed by it.
It was very good.
And she was cool because she was doing these little, I would say, 3-inch by 3-inch cardboard watercolors for $20, or $20, $30, depending on how much detail you wanted. But she did real well. She was actually kind of busy, and she was one of the few people doing actually active commissions. I met with a couple other artists in the area, and they were not doing commissions. They're mainly pieces. Artist Alley still was done well. They added 2 extra rows compared to last year of booths, so a lot more artists. Matt was right, more of the vendor layout. The other problem I didn't like about it, if you notice, Matt, is they weren't rowed straight. It was actually cockeyed in some of the areas, yes. Like off-center. And I don't know if this helped break some of that cross-traffic flow up, but it just offset when you're trying to do a proper pattern to see everything. And I wasn't impressed with that kind of layout.
Interesting.
They did have, I have to mention, the booth of the Western Bills, they had an escape room. And actually watching that from people trying to do the escape room was kind of funny. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Cool.
Except the location of escape booth was also right next to the food, so it caused a huge pileup. Yeah,
they need to move it. They need to have it, but they need to move it. They should have put it over in the smaller too.
Yeah, they should have put it over in the children's area, since all they had back there was a climbing wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, see that, and I don't know what it goes into planning the space for the convention, but all as I can see is something like, Chris, how big is Lloyd Center? Do you know off the top of your head?
They utilize the majority of it. That's the 220,000 square feet. Is it 220? Oh, no, 240,000. That's pretty much, it's not the Lloyd Center. What we have is the convention center.
And I understand that, but I'm saying, like, someplace like these sports arenas, like, if the teams or whatever aren't playing, and it's more, like, we used to have, in Louisville, it's still there, Freedom Hall, there was a section of it that was separate from the basketball section, so you had, because they do all the cows and all the farm stuff and tractors and everything else and various other conventions. So they had this big giant space. My thinking is, with any convention, not just Rose City, with any convention, if you have, let's just say, 220,000 square feet, map it out in a way where it's going to make sense. Like you said, the escape room was right by the food. Well, that's going to be either you're going to go to the escape room or you're going to go to the food, or you're all going to, like you guys said, it's all going to traffic jam into each other. Like, if you have that much space, you should be able to figure out how far apart to put some of the stuff so it doesn't intersect with each other.
Yeah, we have a lot more room to grow for this one. It can still handle. Like I said, we were at 70,000 before COVID, and it wasn't horribly packed, but it was starting to get a little crowded. But they do have room on the edges to remap those to be a little bit more traffic friendly, and on top of that, vendor friendly. So you actually get people to go out to those into those end caps and loop around. Mm. So there's potential for a lot of growth in that area for Rose City. Still, for layouts, one of the better of the Comic Cons that I've heard, because of the single floor layout, we don't have multiple buildings to deal with.
Yeah, that's why I think all conventions need to be in something like a basketball arena, or, you know, a convention, like one floor. Like, you don't need 6 floors for ECC. Like, no.
Emerson City, going to the new convention center, which is 400,000 square feet of convention space, it's mainly going to be, I'm right, 2 main floors on that. Mm-hmm. And then conference rooms will be on 6. The third floor.
Yeah.
Much better. But these floors are, they're 240,000 alone. The building is very large. And the parking is built within there, too, in the lower levels, which is going to be really nice.
That's awesome. Very awesome. All right, final thoughts, and what other conventions are you guys going to this year, Matt?
I think we're done until January, February. Mm. At least me and Chris are. I know James has got New York, and I think there might be another one after New York. But for the most part, I think it's coming up to a close for most of the con season.
Yeah, it's usually November, December holiday time that they take off. And like you said, usually January, February, depending on, you know, weather and everything else, depending on where the convention is and everything else and holiday hangover and all that. Yeah.
And there's a couple of small Comic-Cons here in Oregon that are popping up in February that we might be mid-con, which is in Eugene. We might take a crack at. They're kind of announcing that. It's a second year con in the Eugene area that we might go and jump on. Tables were very reasonable. And for the pricing, we can definitely get away with it. But we're probably going to be hitting that one. And, of course, we'll be right back in Emerald City in March at the new convention center. So a quick turnaround for us on that part.
So are they – so they're doing – Emerald City is doing it in March next year.
That is its normal time.
Okay.
They do spring break.
Okay.
But well, it got all goofed up because of the pandemic, and then they started getting desperate for money, and that's why they kept jumping it around. I wish they'd just keep it in December because then beautiful. I could do my Christmas shopping too.
Convention Christmas shopping.
It's great, actually man. Great. It's a wonderful idea because there's so much people love, and there's a lot of things you can buy.
It's unique.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there's nothing like going to a convention and getting something for somebody that, like, you know, say your favorite character is insert whatever, Batman, Superman, Iron Man, Spider-Man, whatever. If you go and you get for this person, you go and get an autograph from, say, Kevin Conroy or George Newbern or any of the actual writers or artists like Mike and Laura Allred or Brian Michael Bendis or any of these people, like, that's a cool gift. That's a unique Christmas gift for whomever that's, you know, for whomever you're getting that for, that they can't just go back and return it. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, you're stuck with it.
It's not that you're stuck with it, but again, it's unique gift giving. It's not just socks and sweaters from Sears or, you know, whatever. You wanted a Red Ryder BB gun? I got you a Green Alpha BB gun. Like, you know, I don't know what the hell, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not just those everyday kind of gifts. So, awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, convention season's run. Yes, convention season is coming to a close, and man, 2022 was kind of packed. Between, I think as we're recording this, isn't FanX Salt Lake this weekend?
Next weekend.
Next weekend. Okay. It's sometime, like, I kept seeing ads for that. Obviously, New York is in October, New York Comic Con. But man, 2022, the conventions came back with a vengeance, man. And I'm more apt to just sit here and talk to you guys or talk to whomever. I'll talk to anybody that's gone to any of these things. Like, if, you know, somebody says, hey, I went to New York Comic Con and I had this experience, come on the podcast, tell me the story kind of thing, because I think that's cool. I think that's the easiest way for me to experience it without having to leave my apartment.
James can come on and goes, I went to C2E2 and I cried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. I don't know. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Any other final thoughts from you guys before I send it to an ad break and then close it out?
No, just go visit. When you get these Comic Cons, please visit and support the local artist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Local artist. Bring snacks. Yep, bring snacks, bring water. Just imagine you're an Uber driver, except you're walking or running.
Yep.
I see it now. Gopher Matt. Like,
That's pretty much what I do. Oh, James, you need food? Okay. Go get food.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to send you a quick ad break. We'll come back after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Markham 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast, from the universe and beyond.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Letamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on The Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
Oh, hey, I got something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the GeekCast Radio Network. We are ToonCast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy Toon talk, and now we get the origins of Toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. ToonCast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the Toon talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all Toons all the time here on ToonCast.
Yeah.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover ToyCast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover ToyCast.
Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back here on GeekCast Radio. This is episode 304. Chris, Matt, thank you guys for coming on. As always, I love doing these con recaps with you guys because it's one way for me to experience the convention without actually having to be at the convention.
And Facebook stalk.
Wait, what?
You don't Facebook stalk us and all of our posts that we put up of all the cons that we go to?
No.
Aw.
I thought that's why you wanted to be my friend on Facebook.
I'm too lazy for all that. No, I just wanted to be your friend on Facebook so I can tell you how awesome Funko Pops are. Anyway, Chris, any final thoughts? Anything you want to promote?
We're just remember 2023 is around the corner. We will be at Emerald City Comic Con. Also mentioned, we will be at SummerCon for sure, 2023. It's
for sure.
23rd, 25th in Puyallup, Washington. It's the fourth year for the con, our third going to it, and very, very good Comic Con outside in a convention center. And I know those are the two that I know that Matt and I will be at. MidCon probably in February in Eugene, but it's not confirmed yet.
23rd to the 25th of what month for SummerCon?
Oh, June. June 23rd,
25th. Okay.
All the months.
Not December. We can have people at conventions during Christmas. What are you talking about? Matt, any final things? Any promotions you want to do?
Not really. It was pretty much the same from ECC. Just come and support local cons. If you see a small one that's like a one-day show, go check it out. They're a lot of fun. Even if you're only there for an hour, you don't have to be there all day, but they appreciate the support. And you never know. Like, that's what Rose City was supposed to be, just kind of a 1-2-day show. And now it's this massive thing. So support local.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you for joining us here on GeekCast Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for this show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcatching client you choose to use, but I prefer you use one of these. Follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. I am at TFG and Mike. Chris, what is your Twitter?
You can find us at Indeed Podcasts, also at IndeedPodcast.com, and on Facebook, Indeed Podcast.
All right, you can find us on Facebook at GeekCast Radio Network, so we're over there as well. Matt, any socials you want to promote?
Nah.
He's very anti-social, folks.
I try not to do social media stuff.
But we force you anyway.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio. We wish you'll join us next time as we will be finally getting to the Royal Albert Hall, y'all. That's right. Terry Smith from Music Talks Podcast is joining me in episode 305 as we talk about Blackstone Cherry's concert at the Royal Albert Hall in London, England. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Chris
and Matt.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.